we have the NACO preservation project, which emerged, as I will show you in a moment, from our research. And therefore, the research component derives from the research project. But the conservation component, which as we all know costs 10 to 20 times more than the research component, has to be therefore funded separately because it's so expensive. At the village level also, how all of these people, the specialists in all the various areas, work together with the villagers and the administrative structure in a positive way. This is the village of Nacho. One of these pictures is mine from 89, and the other is a picture from 98, and as you can see, nothing much has changed. And basically, the geopolitical as well as the essential architectural features have remained relatively stable as far as I can see throughout its history. We think they were trying to film the context of Napo, which actually is tied by trade routes all the way to Central Asia in the north via the Gulf and to Tibet to the south and the east. And although we use the term Napo to refer to the Napo Preservation Project, in this part of the world, or perhaps in most parts of the world, we actually should think in terms of cultural clusters. So it is not only Napo that we study, it's the entire cultural context around it. And for Napo, what is particularly important is the major trade crossroads nearby Kuhn. This is a detail from the Kuhn manuscript. And one of the interesting things that we realized yesterday in discussing with each other with the conservation is that there is a peculiar feature, for instance, of the manuscript.
In the future, we need to establish a clear relationship between the cultural artifacts of the past, the present life of the village, and the way in which we can pass on the responsibilities to the village for maintaining this. And we can only do that if they themselves are not in a situation where they are dependents for their economic life. Here's a complex which consists of four temples with some ancillary structures which serve the village. The main temple is the one, which is the one used for ceremonial purposes periodically. We are going to remove, lower the level of earth on the outside and stop the water from coming in. Now the techniques, can we just see, I just want to make a very brief explanation about the techniques that we are using.
Similarly, I'll say this is the west wall of the Nostava Rakham. But you know, these are the areas where the plinth has totally been eroded and it's in a very bad shape and it's got like a slight fossil. And lots of water collects here right now and then it seeps through the walls. And lots of rain has been there in the last year, which has damaged the wall from inside quite a bit. So we really need to consolidate these plinths all around the structure and set our slopes right so that the water doesn't go into the wall anymore.
And the purpose of my visit there, as Deborah mentioned, was to assess the condition of the wall paintings and look at the feasibility of a conservation project directed at the conservation of these important 12th century paintings. As I say, it's a very brief visit. The paintings become the thin skin at which all these manifestations of deterioration happen. And you begin to see some of those effects here. Damages at the top of the walls, you've seen some of the elevations that Romy has prepared with the floor to ceiling cracks, typically in a diagonal or vertical configuration. Through the plasters to the paint layers themselves, they're obviously highly complex in terms of their technique. As far as I know, there's been no technical analysis of these types of paintings. And again, as far as I know, the knowledge that we have is mostly based on modern day treatises of artists still practicing. So the field is wide open here for looking at original techniques.